There's a big fight over what crosses the internet and who pays for it, and we may have an agreement.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. There is a deal reportedly in the works between Google and Verizon that could upset the apple cart of what is known as net neutrality. This is the idea that all internet content, from YouTube videos to eBay listings to this show's podcast, get treated the same by internet service providers. Those are the telephone and cable companies that control the pipelines of the web. The agreement between Google and Verizon could set the stage for big companies to pay for the privilege of speeding up delivery of their own content to you and me. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman is here to help us bushwhack through the weeds of net neutrality. Good morning, Mitchell.
Good morning, Bill.
What might a deal between Verizon and Google mean?
Well, right now, the cable and telephone companies don't speed up or slow down the flow of information to our computers, depending on what website it's coming from. But think about it. Somebody who downloads tons of TV shows or YouTube videos, that uses up a lot of bandwidth. Companies like Verizon would like to charge more for that. Let Google, for instance, which owns YouTube, pay to give priority to YouTube videos getting to our computers, and we might end up paying part of the bill with tiered pricing for internet, just like we now have for premium cable. Reports are sketchy on this deal, reports in Bloomberg and the New York Times. Neither company is commenting, and we don't know how it might affect smartphones.
And what is the problem with letting the internet evolve in that direction?
Well, you know, if some big company, Google or Amazon or eBay, gets to buy access to the fast lane, somebody else's content is going to be left in the slow lane. Somebody who isn't paying millions of dollars to Verizon or AT&T or Comcast, a library, struggling online magazines, whatever. So to consumer and open internet advocates, these kinds of deals are basically the death knell of net neutrality. Now, the FCC is trying to work out regulations to keep the playing field of the internet somewhat level going forward, but it probably doesn't have the legal authority to do that right now.
Okay. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman. Mitchell, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Stocks in Europe are up about 0.5% this morning. Asian markets were mostly higher. Yesterday in New York, the Dow Industrials climbed 44 points. The close there was 10,680. The internet telephone company Vonage has a new Facebook application. Using an iPhone or an Android phone, users can make free calls to Facebook friends without dialing. Is technology killing the telephone number? We asked reporter Jill Barchet to look it up.
There are more and more ways for us to talk to each other without dialing a telephone number. There's Skype, Google Voice, and now Vonage Facebook. Rudolf Vandenberg is a telecommunications consultant at Logica. He says email addresses will increasingly be used for talking.
I think the phone number will move gradually into the back.
But is keeping our brains free from dozens of telephone numbers a good thing? Harry Lorraine has written 16 books on memory training. In his youth, he became famous for reciting whole phone books.
If you let your right arm dangle and don't use it for 6 months, it'll atrophy, and you'll never be able to use it properly again. And if you don't use your mind for the same amount of time, you'll never be able to use that again. You have to exercise your mind just as you exercise anything else.
Vandenberg says not to worry. There will always be a need for telephone numbers as long as all 7 billion people in the world are not on the same internet site. Plus, we need a way to contact a guy we've met at a bar who we're not ready to friend on Facebook yet. I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. And by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
We know state and local governments are in debt, and they don't want to pay to fix their roads if they don't have to. So in Wisconsin, hundreds of towns are putting limits or considering limits on how heavy a truck can be. One of the state's major industries says that puts business in a rut, as Wisconsin Public Radio's Brian Bull reports.
At this truck stop in northern Wisconsin, several dozen semis prepare to head out on the open road. One of them is piled high with logs. It's on its way to a processing mill, and it's indicative of the state's $26 billion timber industry. Logging companies are worried about the weight limit trend because a standard timber truck can weigh nearly 50 tons. That's almost five times the weight restrictions already in place in some towns. Others, like Boulder Junction near the Michigan border, are considering their own limits. Town Chairman Jeff Long says it already costs $60,000 to build a mile's worth of standard residential road without the giant lumber semis rolling through.
To do this to a heavier level that will sustain that type of weight would cost between $160,000 and $175,000 a mile. So in a small town that has 90 miles of town road, the difference in cost is very significant.
Long says taxpayers shouldn't have to pick up the tab. Henry Schinnenbeck is with the Great Lakes Timber Professionals Association. He says the weight limits are a drag on a vital sector of the state's economy.
With that type of road posting, you wouldn't even be able to haul equipment in to start a timber sale. And for every 10 jobs directly being done in the timber industry, that creates 23 additional jobs.
Schinnenbeck says to comply with the restrictions, each 49-ton logging semi will have to be replaced with three smaller trucks. That drives up fuel and staffing costs and hurts Wisconsin's independent contract truckers. Several meetings have been scheduled this summer for all stakeholders to try for some common ground. In Madison, Wisconsin, I'm Brian Bull for Marketplace.
And finally, there is a big hit song now called California Girls, G-U-R-L-S. At the end of the song, Snoop Dogg says this.
I really wish you all could be California girls.
Wait, did he say I wish you all could be California girls, or I wish they all could be California girls, which is the famous Beach Boys lyric? Either way, the Beach Boys publisher feels sufficiently ripped off, and they're threatening to sue for both a writing credit and royalties. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.